Greg's, you know, a lot of people are wondering, why are you absent today from your usual post here on the Greger Show?
Well, Freddie, first of all, thanks for filling in. tough day. One of our good buddies, Chad Cochran, unfortunately passed away, had cancer. Had three boys who were just a little bit younger than I was when my father passed away, and I just kind of felt it was important for me to be here and support him and his wife, Sherry. And you know what? It was a beautiful ceremony, and it's tough. Anybody out there who's lost a loved one, it's, you know what? It obviously hits home to me, having lost my father at a young age. And now, Chad, I always call him Barkley, and it's funny. I only found out today, Strutty, you know how guys are with nicknames. I always called him Barkley, and I never knew why, because when I got introduced, that was his nickname, so I just called him Barkley. Turns out it was his middle name. I never knew that till today, so I was kind of chuckling about that typical guy stuff where you just call guys nicknames. You don't really care why it's his nickname. And, you know, a beautiful, beautiful man, and, you know, died way too early. And, you know, his wife, Sherry, she's a saint, and, you know, they're three boys who they'll be okay. But it was a beautiful day, but a tough day.
Greg's, thanks for sharing that. It's always difficult, for sure. Now, you watched the game last night. I thought you had an interesting tweet afterwards. They had Carey Price and Vasilevskiy, the two netminders in the two Stanley Cup finalists. And, you know, Price is a big guy, but Vasilevskiy, he's a much, much bigger man. And some of them might be, you know, seem like you're inferring it was part of his equipment setup.
Well, and I get that the pitcher's probably taken from an angle, so it makes him look bigger, but it's not going to, like, it's the old Friends joke. Remember when Monica, and they're like, well, you know what, the camera adds 10 pounds, and he's like, how many cameras are on you, right? So, let's be honest here. Vasilevskiy's a big dude. It's just the chest protector, hey, I'm all for safety, but that does seem a little bit, you know, like gargantuan at times. And we've talked about this lots, right? Like, I love goaltenders, but it would sure be nice if the NHL would actually crack down on it. Make it safe. Like, the technology nowadays, you can make the equipment safe. No question. It doesn't have to be that bulky where it's covering air. And that's how you make saves. So it was, and I picked Tampa to win. I expect to win. And that's not why they won. But that pitcher, I got it from Sean Simpson from TSN 1200. And I was just like, oh my goodness. Like that, it just caught my eye.
Greg, so when you look at this offseason, their names are kind of dropping, right? We heard about Duncan Keith potentially, you know, being, you know, wanting to be moved, and it seems like he's going to be moved. But today, Vadi Tarasenko, the St. Louis sniper with three surgeries in the last, let's call it, couple of years on his shoulder. Is that a player that, you know, a team like the Oilers, if you were the Oilers, would take a look at?
Well, hey, Vadi Tarasenko can score, Strutty. And that's a skill that's not just easily findable. You can't just go, hey, let's get a 40-goal score, right? Like, you look at Tarasenko, and if he could play with McDavid or Draisaitl, I don't really care who, because they're both elite, that I would think that Vladi Tarasenko would be able to score some goals, right? I think he would be an outside shooter on your power play. Now, he's a 7.5 cap hit, right? So that's that's a little bit of a challenge, for sure. So you're and then you look at Edmonton and say, okay, what could Edmonton offer in a trade for Tarasenko? Like, if he asks for a trade, we all know this. When the player asks for a trade, you're not getting fair value. You never are, right? Like, they're going to trade the best player. It's not like Edmonton's going to say, okay, well, here, we'll give you Leon Draisaitl. Obviously not. They're not going to give you Nurse. So it would be, okay, what's a deal? Like, they would want a top six forward. So they probably want Yamamoto or Puljujärvi, I would think, automatically. And then something else on top of that. So now, obviously, Yamamoto and Puljujärvi, like, hey, I like those two players, but you know what, you get Tarasenko, you know, he's a legit player. I would obviously be interested in that. But, the cap hit's obviously a challenge for Edmonton. They have a lot of cap space, but that would eat up a lot. But it would also guarantee you now, because last year we all know what happened. The top six wingers didn't produce a ton, considering the top two centers were the top three in 5-on-5 scoring, and then their other guys weren't even close. Like, Puljujärvi was okay, but the rest were garbage just at 5-on-5. So, yeah, I think Tarasenko, Ken Holland would have to have interest, no question about it. Now, Tarasenko obviously, you know, has some control a little bit in where he goes, which makes it even harder. Like, I think Doug Armstrong here, he's up against it. It's going to be very difficult to get fair market value for Tarasenko, right? Like, what they – I don't know if it'll be as bad as the Ryan O'Reilly trade, but it's highly unlikely that St. Louis is going to come out of this trade thinking they got a lot of really good pieces back.
How much would you be concerned about his shoulder surgeries? Three of them in, what is it, 28 months, let's call it.
Well, you know, Frank Saravalli reported it a few weeks ago, and then Jeremy Rutherford had it yesterday, about that, you know, where the concern is they felt that the guys in St. Louis, the doctors didn't do the proper surgery the first time. So if that's the case, then maybe he only, if they would have done it first, according to Tarasenko, allegedly, that maybe he wouldn't have needed the other ones, right? But Strud's, it's fair. But he only has 2 years left on his deal, right? So it's not like you're getting a guy who's a little bit injury prone, but is coming, like, it's not like it's arthritic, like Klefbom or anything like that. So I would be, it's a concern for sure, but there's, you know, I don't know how high it would be. I would think I would get my doctors to talk about it and say, okay, what was the surgery, right? Like, was it torn labrum? You know, what was it, shoulder sockets always popping out? I'd want to know the specifics on what exactly the issue was, because that's going to change it, right? If it's something that, because you probably played, Strudy, with guys who had chronic shoulder injuries and your shoulder pops out sometimes, well, it just keeps popping out, right? And it's fixed, but it's never really fixed. So if it was that, yeah, I would have more concern. But if it was a torn labrum, guys can recover from a torn labrum and have no issues 2-3 years later.
Jason Greger joins us here on The Greger Show. He's in the Oil Report. Greg, so we've had a bunch of texts, and it got me thinking, and I want to get your opinion. You know, let's assume that they can figure out with Duncan Keith and the money, all that makes sense. Do you think it's more or less likely, or has it changed the situation at all with a guy like Brandon Saad, them being past teammates in Chicago?
So you mean if the Oilers got Keith, would that mean they're more likely to get Saad?
Yes.
Well, hey, it's like anything. The players, and I've said this now for a bit, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, they've got some pretty big swagger around the NHL. They're the two reigning Hart Trophy winners, Art Ross and Ted Lindsay. So when they call a player, which is legal, it's allowed, right? So if they call you and say, hey, you know what? Hey, Brandon, I'm Connor McDavid. How's it going, buddy? I think you could fit her. Because we know they did that with Tyson Barrie. Tyson Barrie told us that. So, you know, then you add in Duncan Keith. So if Duncan Keith's there, right, I don't think it would hurt by any stretch of the imagination. And I like Brandon Saad. It's all going to come down to, you know, what's Saad worth? Because, man, that guy scores goals, Strudy. You know, he's a bigger body. And I don't care how fast he is. I don't think the Oilers need a ton of more speed. Puljujarvi can skate. McDavid can skate. Draisaitl can skate. Nugent Hopkins isn't slow. You need a guy who can finish. And Brandon Saad's a bigger body. He's really good in the playoffs. And he's good in the regular season. He's not a big playmaker, and that's fine. He doesn't need the puck a lot. You got 97 and 29 to carry the puck. So I would think, Strud, like anything, you know, look in the real world of our audience listening. When somebody, you know, you get a new boss, what do they normally do? They bring in people that they know, right? Because it's natural. You I know this guy. Hey, I work well with Tom. I really like Tom. And doesn't mean that Paul's not a good worker, but I know that Tom and me gel together. So I'm going to bring Tom in. Right? That happens in the real world. So, yeah, if Duncan Keith ended up in Edmonton before free agency, then if Edmonton was serious about Brandon Saad, that probably would help. But at the end of the day, I think money talks. Right? I don't think Brandon Saad's going to be like, oh, geez, Duncan Keith said it was great. Oh, I'll sign here for $3.5 million. It's still at the end of the day going to come down to, you know, if Edmonton makes a fair offer and competitive and the other teams are fair and competitive, then the personality stuff might come into play.
You know, there's some talk about people comparing Philip Deneau and his contract this offseason to J.G. Pageau. And, you know, Pageau, you know, he has scored more goals than Deneau. Deneau has never cracked, I don't think, 15 off the top of my head. You know, is that a fair comparable if you're a guy that is maybe looking at signing Deneau, whether it's Montreal or another team in free agency, even though he's just had what was a pretty awesome Stanley Cup run playing defense as a center?
Well, you know what's funny is if you look at Pageau and Deneau 5-on-5, Deneau kills him in points.
Okay.
Right? Like, Deneau is, like, you had, and that's why I've been a big believer in Thomas Tatar. Thomas Tatar has the 22nd most 5-on-5 points the last 3 years in the NHL stretch. 22nd. And Deneau's right behind him. I think Deneau's 2 or 3 points behind him, so he's top 30. Right? Pageau's not up that high. So I think Phil Deneau, if I had to pick between Deneau and Pageau, I would take Deneau all day. I think Deneau is a better player. I think he's a better offensive player, and he's just as good defensively.
That's it. So at Pageau's $5 million, is that a benchmark for you if you're a team working into this free agent offer?
Well, yeah, I think, like, you look at guys, like, look at Yanni Gord was a third-line center in Tampa. Now, that's a cup-contending team, right? He's competitive. Deneau in Montreal is probably their second-line center. Right, like I know they got Kotkaniemi's not there yet, right? And I'm not sure he'll ever get there, but he's not there yet. So in Montreal, Phil Deneau probably can squeeze a little bit more. Now, other teams, like, it's all about where Phil Deneau, if Phil Deneau wants to go to a team just for money, and you know, maybe he'll get in a second-line opportunity. I think he's a good second-line winger. He's an unreal third-line center, right? Sorry, I said second-line winger. Yeah. I meant second-line center. He's an unreal third-line center, like unreal. And he's probably, you know, he's good enough to be a second-line center on a lot of teams in the league, right? Edmonton just happens to have two of the top five centers in the entire NHL. So, you know, but if you did bring Deneau to Edmonton, for instance, he could be your third-line guy. But every time you want to move Drysdale to the wing.
Nope.
Flexibility.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, makes a lot of sense. There's no doubt about it. Joined by Jason Greger here on the Jason Greger Show, 514 on TSN 1260. Not sure if you've seen the reports, Gregs, but in some frustrating or disappointing news, if you're a CFL fan, Riders GM Jeremy O'Day confirmed that four players suffered Achilles injuries at training today and believes are all long term. You know, this is obviously, you know, devastating. We had, you know, some of the Eskimo coaches on. They talked a little bit about their concern about the soft tissue issues. Do you think this maybe changes the way coaches or teams approach this training camp?
Well, I sure hope so, right? But a lot of it comes down a little bit to the players too, right? Like, I don't know if, like, you can't go from 0 to 100, right? Now, the players had extra time off, obviously. They've never been off this long from being in, you know, in highly competitive things. But off-season injury study, we've seen it in basketball, we've seen it in hockey, and those are guys who did it in a normal year, right? Andre Sekera, for instance, right? You've had other guys who have done it in basketball, too, in training and football. So having four at once does seem a little bit outside the norm, no question, right? And so is that connected a little bit to the long time off? Probably. I'm not a doctor, you know. I didn't take pre-med study, so maybe you would be better to answer that question. I don't know if you're studying Achilles in pre-med or not, but it's a concern for sure. And I think, like, training camp is going to be longer than they've ever had before, right? And you and I have talked about this. The best ability is dependability. You don't need to come in first day of training camp and be like, okay, guys, I'm the head coach. I'm going to be macho, and we're going to make our guys go 100 miles an hour here. Like, let's. Hopefully you have the trainers who figure it out. And even if you do everything right, sometimes guys can get hurt, right? Because it's elite-level athletes. There's a lot of strain on their body at the best of times. So it can happen. But, yeah, having four guys in one set now, like, was this all in the last week they did this, or has this been over the past few months?
I think it was just recently. Connor, you know more than I, but I think it's just been pretty recent.
Yeah, from the report that we got, it looked like it was today at practice.
Oh, geez. Wow.
So it was their third and last day of permissible workouts before camp begins.
Yeah, well, that's brutal. So you'd be curious, you know, what were they doing? Not blaming anybody. Maybe it's just, you know, it's unlucky, right? Injuries can happen at any time. But off-season, it's funny how so many players over the years have had more Achilles injuries off-season training studs than they've had actually during a season.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know what, Greg? I don't know. I saw this and I just was blown away because, you know, you make the good point. I think that as an athlete, like, you do lift your weights and you do yoga and all that, but you still train in the way you're going to play. You know,
yeah.
Like, you're going out and they're, you know, you always see football players running around pylons or making cuts or whatever, you know, all those types of things that they do. So, like, it's not like they've just been sitting around with their feet up, you know, watching, you know, reruns of Seinfeld. Like, so I don't know why all of a sudden it comes now. Like, I can honestly tell you, I pushed myself harder in the off season, at least physically, like getting in shape,
yeah,
than I did once you got to training camp. And I'm assuming every athlete's like that, so it's really odd to see four in this short a time. Like, it just, maybe it's just bad luck, and maybe we won't hear another one through all these
training
camps.
I'd love to know if it was all, like, were they doing the same drill? Like, I would just be curious. Those are the type of details I'd like to know.
Yeah, no, it's just crazy. Gregs, we'll have you back on the hot stove here tomorrow. Thanks for jumping in. We'll hear tomorrow at 2:00.
Well, Strati, thanks again for filling in. I really appreciate it. And again, my condolences to the entire Cochran family and everyone knew it. Chad was he was an absolutely beautiful human being.